Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the At-Large Summit number 2, Atlas 2, Organizing Committee meeting, the first meeting of its kind, on the 26th of March 2013. The time is 1904 UTC, and basically the aim of this meeting is really to get ourselves to, have a look at the actual Atlas II proposal and have a look at the budget, and then organize ourselves in the next week leading to Beijing, yes. And then after the board approves, and it is hoped that the board will approve this proposal. Then after that, we will probably be briefly discussing the operation of the Atlas II Organizing Committee. I'll probably be calling upon those people who have done things before us, such as Cheryl Langdonor, who is on the call, and for the previous chair, who was in charge of the committee that produced the first at-large summit. And after that, we'll just be setting the details of our next call. So that's pretty much the aim of the meeting there. Of course, you all will be invited to ask questions and to contribute to this call. Doing so, I usually, because I do speak a lot and fast and loudly, it's better to put your hand up in the Adobe Connect room. Then I can visually see you whilst my mouth is busy doing something and my ears are busy doing something else. But that's the gist of the way things work. I think we'll start immediately with a roll call, and then we'll get going. So, Gisela, could we have the roll call, please?
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Cresson-Leblanc, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Pierre Anouche Varanian, Pastor Peters, Juan Manuel Rojas, Dev Anand Teluxing, Roberto Gaetano, Eduardo Diaz, Jordi Ipaguir, and we are still waiting for Siva Mutusami to join us. Apologies noted today from Evans Lebovich, Sandra Hoferichter, and Tijani Benjamin. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Matt Ashtiani, Matt's not on the call, Carlos Reyes, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. I see that Wolf Ludwig has joined us as well, and I hope I haven't left anyone off the attendances. Over to you, Olivier. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And have we missed anyone by any chance? Somebody lurking in the shadow that we haven't mentioned? Doesn't look like anyone has been forgotten, so that's great. Well, welcome, everybody, and it's great to see new faces. Certainly, I've seen some of you on some of the Reno calls, but it's good to see you in a mainstream at-large working group, I guess, because this is really what this task force working group is all about. We are going to be meeting regularly in order to put together the program and the...
I didn't hear my name. I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't hear my name.
Oh, it depends what your name is. I believe it could be Eduardo.
Sorry, Pastor Peters. I didn't hear my name mentioned.
Sorry, Pastor Peters. Gisela, did you record Pastor Peters?
Yes, he's mentioned on the Adobe Connect.
Thank you, Wolf. Yes, Pastor Peters, on the right-hand side of the screen, you will see the list of participants, and you're included in there. So you are all accounted for. So coming back to this, so this working group is going to work on the at-large summit preparations for, hopefully, if it all gets agreed, for London in June 2014. Before just launching directly into the Atlas II, I wonder whether we could have Cheryl give us a little background of the first at-large summit that took place. In fact, I have a link to the I have a link to the first summit that took place that I've just put in the chat. And Cheryl, are you back online? Are you able to speak there?
I am indeed, but can you hear me properly?
I can hear Cheryl Lungdenor loud and clear. So go ahead, please, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. This is Cheryl for the Transcript Record. And yes, indeed, I'm delighted to give you a potted version. And thank you very much for that link. The first at-large summit was, I think, a tipping point for ALS, that large structure capacity building, back in 2009. But of course, it had been the product of several years' hard work by a number of people, some of which, of course, are still with us in this new organising committee, and some who have still maintained an interest in the ICANN community, but are not necessarily going to be working directly with us here. Obviously, Sebastian and Evan were very important, along with Wolf and others, in the preamble work that we all did to get the first summit off the ground. And one can only assume that it is because of the success of that, and it was a huge success. To many people's surprise, I will point out, that we probably have such a good chance of getting a second run with the at-large summit number two. The events which were packed in and were very much focused on capacity building over the first couple of days, which you will see listed on that... well, it's not a wiki page, it's actually a web page. It takes you to the at-large web page for that week. We're carefully designed to ensure that we have the Saturday, Sunday to bring our community together and immerse them in all things ICANN. And that was very successful. And more importantly, it's probably a precursor for some of the things that are seen as now expected in newcomers' programs and other things that you'll find is quite normal in ICANN world today. We also then had the huge benefit, and I think it was very important, to run the individual general assemblies for each of the regional at-large organisations. You must remember, of course, that most of the regional at-large organisations were still fairly new as entities then, and this was a pivotal touchstone point for each of them to organise themselves in the very first opportunity, in most cases, for them to have met with a substantial number of their at-large structure representatives. The rest of the week, if I can put a bit of a gloss on it, was very much involved in establishing who we were in a number of policy areas with the rest of the ICANN community. You'll see some thematic groups listed during the week. Those thematic groups had been established in terms of topic after a survey process with all of our at-large structures who at that time were going to be involved in the Atlas One. They were prioritised and they were all, I guess we could call them in inverted commas, hot topics for the day. And what was terribly important about that was it ensured that other ICANN community members who had interests in these issues, and they were the big issues at the time, suddenly realised that there is another room and another set of voices they needed to go and engage with. Now, some people saw that as a good thing. Some people saw it as a less than good thing. Some people feared that a room that they thought had been designed for, or a table that had been designed for us to talk to each other on particular topics was risking being captured or overborne by industry or special interest views. But that actually, I think, regardless of your view at the time, worked to our advantage as a community because of what it did do is establish us as a mature and more accessible and worthy of listening to set of voices, and we've been seeing it before. The other main feature, well, actually there's two main features I wanted to point, one of which I think is extremely important for us to continue, if we are going to take any of the planning and opportunities out of Atlas 1 on to Atlas 2, first I'll mention it was the first opportunity for the ICANN board to actually learn how to spell at large structure and regional at large organisation, and I do mean that literally. I personally drew a design showing the relationship between an ALS, a RALO, the rest of ICANN and policy input into the ICANN model, which was at that stage pretty well going either directly as advice to the board or into GNSO or CCNSO PDP processes. On the napkin at the breakfast we held, we really were selling ourselves as an entity with the ICANN board at that stage. And of course, that's all things we've been there, done that, and I think got the T-shirt. However, what was very important was the closing sessions and the production of the statements, the outcome, the tangible work pieces out of the themed groups on the topics. That was handed as a result of the summit to the then chairman of the board, Peter Dengate-Thrush. Actually, it was his representative at that stage. Peter was actually in the room, as it turned out, but just hadn't made it to the stage. But the presentation, not only to the community by way of reporting, but literally of a manifesto as a result of all our deliberations in the week, as a very tangible thing. And I think, if at all possible, we should try and have a measurable and meaningful outcome on all topics that you may decide to work through in your Atlas 2 at the end of the week of an Atlas 2, because it's that immediate feedback to those who were looking at for any return on investment, or perhaps some of them who were looking to not show a return on investment, is a very powerful thing indeed. At that, I've taken more time than I should have, but I'm excited about this, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and that was a very good introduction, actually, and a very interesting historical perspective on the summit, the first summit, and quite a few interesting thoughts, certainly things we need to think about quite carefully on what we will be proposing for the future summit. So the proposal that we have in front of us here is it's a preliminary proposal for the Atlas 2. This is the proposal which was sent to ICANN staff, finance staff, and which was discussed with several people in the ICANN hierarchy to maximize our chances to have a positive reply, but also work with what is possible to do, bearing in mind the venue that we have, bearing in mind the different restrictions that one might be faced with, including, for example, translation, interpretation, the number of people that we will have. The last summit had less at-large structures attending. We now have in excess of 150 at-large structures. So we're dealing with a group that is actually much larger than what was there for the first time round. In addition, one of the things which was found was in the summit that took place in Mexico City actually took place in a different hotel than the venue hotel. And so the idea of having our at-large structures being involved directly with the ICANN meeting was somehow slightly lost, because although the hotels were within walking distance of each other, the participants were not in the hotel itself. It appears that with the proposal planning for the Atlas 2 in London, the hotel will be large enough would be large enough to have all of our at-large structures in the hotel itself. So that's one of the changes. Now, if you have spent the time that Cheryl has talked about the At-Large Summit 1 and looked at the actual schedule of the events, which was the link that I had given to you all in the chat, you will notice that it starts with 2 days, on the Saturday and the Sunday of... Can you scroll or you can't scroll? I can see. Yes, you can scroll. Excellent. Now, here we're looking at you're looking at the document which is the At-Large Summit 2. The web page which we had pointed you to earlier shows 2 days with a general session on the Saturday and then a policy working groups on the Sunday with 5 working groups on the Sunday. Now, this will actually not be possible as far as I know, as far as we've been told so far. We will not be able to have breakout working groups on the Sunday right away because that's the day that ICANN is still setting up. And since we have a much larger set of at-large structures, it would just be too costly to have so many breakout rooms. I have to remind you, each one of these breakout rooms needs to have interpretation, needs to have staff to deal with all of the technology that we work with. And it's just too many at the same time. So we would have a plenary session on the Saturday and a full plenary session as well on the Sunday. Then over the week, when there are more interpreters available, when all of the facilities in the hotel works, at that point we will be able to create working groups if we wish to follow that path. So effectively, if you look back at the preliminary proposal for the At-Large Summit 2, well, the purpose, I think, is pretty much aligned with what Cheryl has mentioned for At-Large Summit number 1. But in addition to that, though, we are also looking at the planning for the next stage of the ALAC community development. So far, I think one of the big wins of the first summit was the fact that at-large structures actually started understanding what was going on. I certainly know a lot of people that joined around that time and that said it really is on that time that I started understanding how things were working in at-large. Of course, now we have a lot of structures that have not come to the first at-large summit. And so really there comes a time when we really have to get all of our at-large structures face-to-face and get to talk to each other, learn from each other. Some at-large structures have been there for many years. Some have just been accepted in at-large and become part of at-large. And then, of course, there is this capacity building, which is so required because of the fact that the whole function of at-large is to go and reach out to the edges, to the internet users out there. And without the capacity building that we have done on some of the recent ICANN meetings, without this widespread capacity building, it's going to be increasingly hard for our at-large structures to understand the key issues confronting ICANN and the ever more complex role that ICANN is taking in the running of the domain name system and the internet's identifiers. On the one hand, we see external threats to this ecosystem. On the other hand, we also see this increased complexity. We're just on the eve of so many new top-level domains being created, and this is bound to add a lot more things to be done, things as being things to comment on, more processes, more challenges, more problems with all sorts of issues from copyright to all the threats that the DNS is faced with today. So that's the next thing, really, to get all of our ad hoc structures completely synchronized on this. And then, of course, there is the next stage of the at-large community's development to extend the work that the ALAC does into the RALOs and from the railos locally. We are getting bigger. We are growing. So any scalable model also has to be to be worked out, to be scaled up locally, in addition to be scaled up internationally. If the local model does not scale up, then the international model is bound to fail. And that's a real concern, and so we have to address that as soon as possible. And then, of course, to allow ICANN to showcase the key component of its bottom-up multi-stakeholder environment is really important, especially in light of the WCIT, in light of the criticism that ICANN has received. And I think it's also important for us as a community to showcase ourselves, to get this higher level of exposure. The number of people whom I speak to around the world, you know, in aircraft and friends, et cetera, and who did not know what ICANN was in the past, I think it's somehow decreasing a little bit. I wouldn't say to a large extent, it's still the majority of people out there don't know what ICANN does. However, those that do then don't even know that there is at large. So there's a double problem here. Problem one, what is ICANN? Problem two, what is at large? Often they've read about ICANN and they've read that it was an organization that was closed, that was U.S.-based, that was running the Internet, and they had absolutely no idea that we were in a position, that they were in a position to join forces and bring their input into the discussion via at large and via other channels as well. So these are where the main plans. The location, as we've mentioned earlier, it's hoped that we will be able to hold the Atlas II in London, in a pretty large hotel in London. The great advantage for this really is that, one, London is a very large town, very multicultural. It's in Europe. It's got an airport which has more international connections than anywhere else in the world. I think it is the airport with the most international nonstop flights from around the world, although it only runs on two runways, but there you go. But at the same time, it's in a country which is part of the Commonwealth. So as far as visas are concerned, travel issues, because our community is so diverse and comes from the four corners of the planet, it's good to have good transport links. It's good to be also located in the center of a town where our at-large structures will be in a friendly environment and not on the outskirts of a town, stuck in a hotel that they can't actually leave in any way. Of course, we're hoping, we're not saying that this is going to be a tourist attraction, but at least having people in the center of a town and where the hotel is, it's a good part of town, it helps. And it certainly brings on a difference in the way that people actually go to a meeting. I know that some on this call have the experience of having been housed in the hotels that were below quality in the past. And it's particularly bad because when you can't sleep well and you do not like the environment that you are in, it's increasingly hard to actually then concentrate on matters and on things during the daytime when you're in the conference room. We've had several problems like that in the past, and hopefully with this Atlas II taking place in London, that would not be an issue. So the venue, as you can see, is in the same hotel as the actual meeting, which means that our representatives will be all part of the meeting. They can stay for the late discussions at the bar, because that's where you can meet a lot of people all the way up to whenever the bar closes, which might be about 2 in the morning or something, I don't know. They can stay that late and go straight to bed afterwards and not have to walk through the streets of London at nighttime. And then the next thing is then the schedule itself. And the schedule itself, as I mentioned, was to have two plenaries, or plenaries both on Saturday, the 21st of June, and Sunday, the 22nd of June, and then a final ATLAS II meeting on the morning of the Thursday, the 26th of June. And in between Monday through Wednesday, both the RALOs and the working groups would then be able to hold meetings from Monday to Wednesday. And so in addition to that, of course, that would be mixed in with the regular ALAC schedule, which we usually have. The ALAC would then hold a planning meeting the morning of Friday, the 27th of June, with the EXCOM meeting on the afternoon of Friday, the 27th of June. So that's a very extended week that would basically encompass all of the activities that we are going to design here, because I think that's really what we're here for, and mixing it in with the ALAC schedule itself. Finally, the historical financing perspective is included in this proposal. That's really primarily to give an idea of how much it would cost if we did not have an at-large summit. A RALO General Assembly in general costs an average of about $50,000 each. So fiscal year 14, which starts in July, actually will have four ICANN meetings. Because it goes from July, 1st of July to end of June. And this year, the meeting which usually used to take place at the beginning, at the end of June, is actually taking place a few weeks later. So fiscal year 12 has only had two ICANN meetings, and the 13 has had two ICANN meetings. 14, which starts on the 1st of July, 2013, is four. So we thought four times 50,000, that's 200,000, and that really is an offset for the costs of the whole planning and the whole set of events. I think I'll stop here for the time being. I know that we've got the budget to go through. Do you prefer to do the whole thing and then ask questions, or what would you prefer doing? I can continue, and I can ask Heidi to now go through all of the budget, and then I can open the floor for discussion.
Thank you, Vivian. This is Heidi, and we're just posting the budget.
It's okay,
also on
ahead,
the agenda.
Heidi,
if you would like to open that from your agenda page, you can do that as well. Okay, so here it is. So what we've done is we've taken, broken down the five regional at-large organizations, the RALOs, by number of ALSs, and we have set up costs. So for flights, we have Matt Ashtiani, who used to be the travel constituency person, so he's very well aware of some of the regional costs. So you can see that we've broken it down by region. We have a total estimate for the hotel by region, by number of ALSs. We're going to be giving all ALS reps a stipend of $500 per person. So you can see that broken down, again, by region. Other costs that we're still including, we have interpretation costs. Again, these are incremental interpretation costs for the Saturday and the additional full plenary on the morning of Thursday. And we are still waiting for the actual, the cost that you see in that budget of $10,000, that's for the actual interpreter's cost. We're still waiting to hear back on the cost of the actual booths, et cetera, the incremental cost. So we expect that to be just slightly higher. So what we have currently for a total is $619,100 for an estimated budget for the Atlas II. And the other one section would be other, and that would be expenses including transit hotel, incidental and unforeseen costs. It might also include transit into from Heathrow into town. So, Olivia, I think that's it.
This is based on 145 ALSs. And what we are doing is, as we have done for some of the AP, some of the RALO General Assemblies, the representatives from who are already getting funding, for example, the ALEC representatives and the RALO leaders, they will count as their ALS's representatives. And I think that's it, Odin.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. That's very helpful. We're talking big money here, of course, and so it's a big leap of faith for the for ICANN to launch into this. But you will notice the budget compares quite favorably with the overall budget that was done for the first summit. I don't have the exact numbers of the first summit, but it looks like quite a good and tight budget. Of course, there is a contingency fund that would be attached to that as well. But in essence, this is the budget that we're working on at the moment. And I do have to thank you and staff for having worked pretty hard, also with constituency travel and with the meetings department, to be able to come with these figures, which are verified figures. And that really does help when making the proposal and sending the proposal over to ICANN Finance. So that's a good thing. So now I guess that the first thing I can do then now is to open the floor for questions and comments on what we have on the screen. You can ask questions or make suggestions both on the proposal itself, but also on the budget. Yes, Devan Antilaksing, go ahead.
Thank you, Devan Antilaksing speaking. One question. I'm looking at the hotel cost, and I was just wondering, what's the duration for which persons attending the summit? How long are they staying? For 4 nights, or how long?
This is Heidi. They would be arriving Friday night and departing Thursday evening or Friday. I just need to double-check what their actual departure date would be.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Thank you. I was just trying to think of the timing of everything.
That's about 6 nights. Flying someone half the way around the world for 4 nights is probably not... I know that in ICANN world this might happen, but in general, I think that, you know, this is at large, and I have full trust on our staff to have thought a little more than just having people for 4 nights. I mean, we really do want our at-large structures to take a part in the ICANN meeting and to also be able to have at least 2 days of face-to-face meetings, being able to work together on the program that we're going to put together. So, yeah, the budget itself has calculation for about, 6 nights, I think, is the, as Roberto mentions. Wolf Ludwig? Wolf, you might be muted. Is it star 7 to unmute?
It's last time, first day covered was from Saturday, going on through the whole ICANN meeting. The last night covered was Thursday night, and most people were leaving on Friday. So it was for the whole ICANN meeting, actually.
Yeah. Thank you, Wolf. So that wouldn't therefore mean that people are funded, is it from Saturday? Well, you said the first night was Saturday night, or the first night was the Friday to Saturday night?
I think it was most people came in on Saturday, and I think the first night, there were certain exceptions for the prep team. My Friday was covered, but I think for most of the participants of the summit who did not participate in the first Summit 1 working group. It was from Saturday night to Thursday night.
Saturday night to Thursday night. Okay, thank you both for this. So I think staff will feed on this and work out. Heidi, you had mentioned six nights, but that would have to start on the Friday night, since the first day of the summit is Saturday, isn't it?
Correct. It's Thursday that they're going to be asked to leave Thursday night.
Thursday night, okay, so they're not staying for the actual Friday. Of course, as we know, the ICANN meeting has changed these days. It now ends one day earlier, so the board meeting is actually on Thursday and is not on the Friday anymore.
Yeah.
Things have changed somehow. But okay. Any other questions or comments on this?
Olivia, did you want to talk about the showcase?
Yes, please. Shall I? Well, not that knowledgeable about it yet, of course. There's going to be a showcase, as there always is. And, of course, this time around, it's a showcase of all of the at-large structures themselves. Now, as you know, a showcase, or as you may know, because some of you might not know, a showcase usually involves a band and all sorts of promotional material and things that are done. It often involves a keynote speaker or several keynote speakers. So it is something that is a bit of a costly affair, and especially since this is going to be a showcase with 145 at-large structures, we're not going to be dealing here with something that is small. The showcase that we'll have in the Atlas 2 is going to be a large event. We have the confirmation from Global Stakeholder Engagement that they wish to make this a large thing with international journalists, with a number of people, the press, etc. So we are likely to have a high-profile speaker. But, of course, this is all costly. So one thing that we will have to work on is to get sponsors. Now, thankfully, we have not had that much trouble finding sponsors in the past. There are several large registrars and registries that are based in the region. There are several other companies, knowing that now we've got a growth in the domain namespace. There, I'm sure several other companies that will be more than happy to sponsor us. But this is something that we really need to keep in mind. And of course, if this is going to be a big event with a high profile, we're likely to get larger amount of money from the sponsors than what we've done in the past. So we're going to have to design this showcase as well and work, perhaps, if I could suggest, work with Global Stakeholder Engagement to see what they can bring into this, what we can bring into this, and how we can work together on that. I see several people putting their hands up. So first, Eduardo Diaz, and then Juan Manuel Rosas. So first, Eduardo Diaz.
Yes, this is Eduardo for the record. If this is going to be promoted in the local media as well as in the international media, and if so, if I can start involved in helping coordinate that type of thing? That's the question.
Yes, thank you very much, Eduardo. So from what I know at the moment, having had a long discussion with Sally Costerton, who is the VP, Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement, I had a meeting with her in January in London, and we discussed the whole thing, and she did say that herself and her team would be working on the sort of public relations side of things to make sure that this runs smoothly. In addition to this, we are also going to be provided with support from a staff, with a specific staff member who's going to follow through. Heidi, do you want to introduce Carlos, please?
Yes, please. We have a relatively new member of policy staff on this call. His name is Carlos Reis, and he will be working with Atlas too, and all of you, as well as at-large staff, on the organization of this. Carlos is a policy analyst, and he has fantastic language skills. He speaks English, Spanish, and French fluently. Carlos, would you like to introduce yourself, please, just very briefly?
Thanks, Heidi. Hi, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes. I joined ICANN in December, and I've been working here in the policy department, and I look forward to assisting you with the second Atlas Summit.
That's great. Thank you
Carlos,
very much.
And everyone who will be in Beijing will have a chance to meet Carlos personally. He is going to help support this group. When they meet in Beijing, this group does not have a separate meeting, but we're going to discuss a little bit of the times that this topic will be discussed during Beijing, and he'll be at these meetings, both sessions. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heidi. So these are at least two avenues. One staff member that will be helping with the organizational part, and that is a polyglot, which is fantastic. But then also, we definitely will have support from global stakeholder engagement. And that's all I know for the time being. I think that as time goes and as the worth of this event is going to be understood by the majority of people, we're likely to get more support as well from several parts of ICANN. This is something that's in progress. Juan Manuel Horas, you have the floor.
Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can hear you, Juan Manuel. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. I have just a question. Are we filtering about ALS participating in this summit? Because we know that there are some ALS that are not active at all, but maybe in this summit they will be joined. And that is my question, no more. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Juan Manuel. Heidi, I know that Sylvia and you have been working on the estimates for the number of ALSs. Do you have an estimate on this, please?
Yes. So we expect, again, in the budget, we're including 145 at-large structures, in addition to the 25 members that will be funded by the regular ICANN travel support. So in terms of current at-large structures, there are 154, and we expect that to go up perhaps by around 10%. And in terms of the activity or inactivity of these groups, again, as Cheryl mentioned, that the first summit was really a waterstone in ensuring that, or watershed, sorry, in ensuring that these ALSs became active. So we're hoping that even those that may be inactive at the moment, once they do attend this and participate in this event, that they return to their countries and their cities and become more active.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. I note that Cheryl Langdonor has put her hand up. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for the transcript record. Juan, specifically to your point, it's ideal timing in the June 2014 for us to offer the Atlas Summit to as a revitalization exercise, because by then we will have conducted, the ALAC will have conducted, I still feel myself somewhat as ex officio, they'll just have to forgive me, will have conducted a review of their at-large structures for a whole lot of reasons. Not the least of which will be in preparation for the next ALAC review, external review process. And in doing that, having identified and reached out, this is, by the way, very clear, ALAC. I'm not talking regions here. I'm talking ALAC needing to do that. Via the regions, I trust, but it's only ALAC which can either accept, reject, or alter the status of an at-large structure. So it's perfect timing to offer this as a make or break opportunity for revitalisation of at-large structures which may have not been as involved as we would like them to have been to date. So I think that the timing on all of this is absolutely perfect. If we were looking at having our Atlas 2 12 to 18 months later, that would be very much out of sync. So I think we see this as a very useful opportunity. Now, that also said, what we have seen in not only the follow-up after Atlas 1, but also after each of the regional capacity building programs that has happened to date, is a clear and demonstrable increase in at-large structure engagement, at least at the regional level, and perhaps less demonstrably, but I can argue and debate on this, that it is less. I think it is significant, it's just not measured properly. Involvement directly in ICANN and ICANN policy matters. And if anyone wants to buy me a drink at a bar or a cup of tea at a coffee shop, I can tell you why that is the case. But we do have greater involvement, not just of individuals who attend, but of the organisations they represent when we run these types of programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. That's very helpful indeed. As you were speaking, I'm starting to get a slightly better idea of how we may be able to structure this. Because, of course, the next part of our call, and I note that we've only got 10 minutes left, and that really is the next steps and the operational of the At-Large Summit to Organizing Committee. First, are there any more questions on the current proposal? I see Vault has got his hand up. Cheryl, your hand is still up. Shall I... Okay, so Vault Ludwig.
I wanted to speak on the next one.
On the next one. Okay, Vault, yes. Thank you. So then if there are no more questions on this part of the agenda, then let's move on to the next steps and the operation that we can mix both together. And so, Vault, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. It's Vault Ludwig for the records. I think we should at least try to use some sort of lessons learned from the last summit and the organization process to be taken into consideration for the planning of number two. And I remember at the very beginning of the Summit 1 org process, we became slightly coincided when we suddenly realized, well, we have a dozen of people at the working group representing their community, but actually none of us was in a clear position at the time to say what are the expectations, what are the needs, what are the concerns from the community. And that was a point when we quickly decided not to continue in a top-down manner, but to try to switch to a bottom-up process. And we decided to create and launch a survey asking our own members, what are your ideas? What you have a rough concept, and you give a rough concept into consultation. And then you check whether your concept or the concept of the working group from at-large staff, etc., coincides with expectations from the majority of those people who are, as a general rule, not closely involved in RALO business or at-large business or ICANN. So I think it would be a good idea, again, to make this kind of a consultation asking member ALSs for their ideas, expectations, etc., and to try to consider this outcome of such a survey. I know it's taking additional time, etc., but afterwards it was very useful for the org group to develop a more dedicated and designed program covering the broader community and including the broader community. And I still believe this was one of the key points what made the first summit under the given circumstances a big success. Taking the broader community with us, including self, involving them, and I've seen in the chat this previous comment that the first summit in Mexico was one of the encouraging moments for him to get more involved into at large. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wolf, and thank you for sharing this knowledge of the lessons learned from the first summit. I wasn't there at the time, I must admit, so I attended the summit but was not part of the organizing committee, and certainly until recently I was not aware of how it had been put together. I put a link to the ALAC top 10 issues in the Adobe chat, because that actually contains the survey and the results of the survey, which was used to build the summit's main discussion points and workshops. So it's interesting. In fact, recently there has been a discussion on the I think it was on the ALAC list regarding the ALAC top 10 issues, or was it the at-large list, one or the other. Asking whether these are still our top 10 issues or there are new top 10 issues, bearing in mind that it's highly likely that first, the world has changed a lot since 2008, where this last survey was done, but also ICANN has changed a lot, our RALOs have changed a lot, they've improved, they're much more effective. I think you've really hit on right in the middle of the target here. Maybe our first action item for this working group is to design a new survey to send to our at-large structures, and to do that as soon as possible so that we have enough time for them to respond. We have enough time for our RALOs to chase after our ALSs to get responses, and we have enough time, or our ALSs have enough time, to be able to ask their members and to make informed choices about what their concerns are. And certainly it's going to take us a little time to put that survey together, since when building a survey, you have to put choices. I guess it's going to be a multiple choice question, and we really have to have as many options as possible, so as to cover the whole spectrum of issues that are related to our RALOs, to at-large, to the ALAC, and to ICANN in general. I could even venture out to say to the wider Internet community in that respect, since now ICANN has become a lot more integrated with the wider Internet governance that's going on. And that's a strategic direction that ICANN is taking. With regards to Internet governance. So the top 10 issues, perhaps first action item, develop an at-large survey. Are you all okay with that? And what I'm going to ask then, if somebody wishes to, because I think that we're going to have to need several teams or several people in charge of several things. So... and you can notice we're not such a huge team to start with. I'm hoping that as we get more things to do, there might be a few more people that will join us, people that want to get things moving. Certainly, for the survey, Wolf, would you be willing to take the lead on this, if that's okay with you?
Well, if you ask me, it's Wolf Ludwig speaking. If you ask me like this, I will give a hand wherever useful, etc., wherever wanted. Yes, this could be an option, yes.
Okay, thank you, Wolf. And I'm asking you because I know that you have performed surveys and consultation with members already in the past with your knowledge of Eurodig, your involvement in several activities in Europe. I think this would be a good start. Now, there is one thing to think about, by the way, because this working group doesn't evolve all just by itself. We now have, and that's the difference between now and then in 2008, we now have the ability to also tap into our at-large working groups. And so I know that the capacity building working group is also looking at the issue of putting together some kind of survey and finding out what the top 10 issues are or the top 20 issues are for our community. So perhaps finding out and asking for help from that working group might be something to do so as not to duplicate our activities with the activities of the working groups which are already in place. I've noticed Cheryl coming up with her sentence, which she has coined, work smart, not hard. So there you go. So that's another action item. So let's get the survey basically should start being developed, but first liaise with the capacity building working group to find out where their efforts are and see. Well, in fact, not even see if we can put the work together and get the work to be together so as not to duplicate the work. That's one thing. Now, the other thing, looking at the capacity building side of things, well, first we're going to have to discuss really how we want to structure the whole summit. Whether we want it to be just two plenaries and then a handful of workshops or to integrate the workshops with the at-large workshops. That's a question I'm going to leave open, and I'm going to ask you all to think about and to follow up with on the mailing list. How do we want to structure this whole week that we will have with our at-large structures, making sure that on the one side they're going to be able to do things that are specific to them, you know, holding their hand and helping them in understanding the issues and speaking to each other. But on the other side, if we get them to do too many things that are at-large related and that are outside the ICANN meeting itself, they will be missing out on the ICANN meeting itself. So we have to weigh the two things quite carefully. So I open this question and ask you all to follow up on the mailing list. And then the other thing, we have to think of the capacity building that has been done so far by the RALOS, and it's an excellent program. Every time I see the capacity building program starting from AFRALO and then LACRALO, and then NARALO, and I gather that the next region, which is APRALO, in the next week, is going to absolutely overwhelm us with an excellent capacity building program for their region. We really need to learn from this, and again, work smart and take on from this knowledge. So as to build something that will take us all to the next level. I think we probably will have to divide and have a plenary team on one side and a workshop team. But one thing I've also heard mentioned a number of times, and Cheryl has been mentioning this, is the ROI, the return on investment. This is definitely something that I have heard both from board members with whom I had spoken to, but also with the
vice president for global stakeholder engagement, and also even from Fadi Shahadeh, the CEO of ICANN. It's important to note that these days, every investment really needs to have a return on investment, especially with those budgets that are becoming larger and larger. So I would suggest that we also have an ROI team that will look specifically at all of the high return on investment solutions that we might have. And I was going to ask whether Cheryl would be interested in leading the ROI team. I can see here, sure, happy to help. Okay, so that would probably be that. But I think, you know, the ROI will only come afterwards to effectively, when we've built the whole program and everything, see where we can capitalize on return on investment. I'm saying this, why? Because the last thing I want is for this AtLarge summit to take place and for people to, and people that are external to AtLarge, to come to us and to criticize the amount of money that this has cost and for us not to have any tangible and visible returns. So if we build our whole program and know exactly where our ROIs or return on investments are, we will be able to produce a post-summit report that will include those return on investments. And I hope that this will then open up new opportunities for AtLarge. The summit is not the end, you know, the alpha and the omega of AtLarge. There's going to be time before the summit. There's going to be time after the summit. It's great to be excited before the summit, but if we end up like the Olympics in a thing where, oh, it looked great, but now how are we going to pay for it? And paying for it for the next 10 years, that's probably not going to be a good thing. So this is the thing, the sort of plan forward. I think that as far as the survey is concerned, perhaps we could start this soon. The first thing really that we need to know is for the board to approve our request. That's the first thing. I'm not quite sure if there's anything else that I've somehow forgotten in my excitement. Heidi, could you please lend me a hand on other next steps, please?
This is Heidi. Thank you, Olivier. Just in Beijing, there are going to be a couple of meetings. The first will be actually on Sunday morning. Olivier and I have been asked by the PPC, Public Participation Committee, to present the proposal and the budget for Atlas II. Then during the ALAC session, the working session on Sunday between 1715 and 1800, there's going to be a session on Atlas II. So we're hoping that as members of the OC, you will be able to participate in that session. Also, Cheryl, you are scheduled to lead discussion on the Atlas II during the APRALO General Assembly Tuesday between 1602 to 1610. So very exact times there. I think that's it,
Ollie. Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. And I note that Wolf has suggested that for the survey we could start in Durban. Durban is the ICANN meeting that will take place in July. So by then we should have the answer.
Olivier, I've heard that the board will likely vote on this proposal in their June meeting.
In the June meeting, yes.
So I'm not sure when that meeting in June is. So if it's early June, then the OC could start ASAP after that.
Thank you, Heidi. But Durban is in July, and I thought that's the month after. So I would have thought by then we should have the answer, shouldn't we?
No, yeah, absolutely. What I'm saying is that if the board meeting is in early June, once the board votes, then the survey can start. So you could even jumpstart it by 1 month.
Oh, excellent. As we know, there is always a lull of activity. There's very little going on before an ICANN meeting, so maybe we will be able to start. No, that, That's a good solution, actually. Excellent. Okay, any other questions or comments? I think we have a number of action items on the list. Could I ask Heidi to read through or perhaps whoever is taking the action items?
Carlos,
Carlos,
you need to do that?
Sure. In any language. All right. I've identified three action items. The first is for the OC to develop a survey of the at-large structures for topics to be discussed during the summit. And the survey should be developed ASAP, and we'll liaise with the Capacity Building Working Group to collaborate based on their survey. And I believe Wolf Ulrich has volunteered to lead on that. Second item, the OC will determine a structure for the week to provide focus for the at-large structures will not detract from the ICANN meeting. And then creating a plenary and workshop teams. And the third action item to create an ROI team, which Cheryl Langdon Orr will lead, to build a program that produces post-summit report and other tangible results.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Carlos. Any last words or comments from people who are on the call? I know that Eduardo mentions it would not hurt to do the survey even if the Atlas 2 is not approved. I understand that definitely. I think that developing the survey can start being done before the Durban meeting. It's just that actually launching the survey and getting our ALSs to respond to them to it would have to be done after the Durban meeting. I note that Cheryl has put her hand up, so Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the transcript record. I just wanted to remind you, Olivier, that there was an inquiry during your incredibly well-attended ILAC meeting earlier today about the organising committee opening itself up for more membership. If you take a look at the members listing at the moment, whilst all regions are represented, we have in fact not got regional balance as such. So I think we could in fact offer ourselves a little more opportunity to bring in some people. Now, that shouldn't mean that if you're from Uralo, you shouldn't put your name in, although we are, we're over, pardon the pun, represented in Uralo only because of the experience that has come to the fore here, and that's not a bad thing. So it might be a good thing to aim for, because it's going to be very busy planning time, for a significant increase in each of the regional representation areas. But I think the thing we need to push is these are active participants. You may wish to run this with a more active participant and observers listing or something along those lines. That's something we can talk about in Beijing, I'm sure. But I just wanted to remind you that there were people who were asking if they could, in fact, put themselves forward as volunteers for the organising committee. And if that's the case, looking at this list, my response to that question would be yes, I think you certainly should. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Cheryl. And thank you for reminding me of this ALAC call, which felt like such a long time ago. Indeed, we will need more people, and certainly some regions are going to need more people. I'm really glad to see Juan Manuel on the call, and also Jordi Paraguay, new faces who are here and interested in lending a hand. And I hope that you will remain active participants. Roberto, I'm not sure you're a new face. I think Roberto Gaetano, we remember you. It's great to see you here as well and to bring your wisdom to this group. But certainly other regions are not as well represented as the Uralo region. So adding a bit more people would be good. Perhaps an action item to have a call for candidates. And then for this group to discuss, maybe in Beijing, I know that several of us will see each other in Beijing and see who can we'd really like to target, what region we'd really like to target if we're missing some participants in some parts of the world. I realize we are 13 minutes over the end of this call. I do make it a habit always to be a little bit late on this. I was going to ask for the leads on the plenary and the workshop teams, but I don't think that at this very moment it's that important to immediately have a leader on both of these, because really the first thing that we need to move forward with is the survey as an immediate steps forward. We'll keep it to that. If you have any more thoughts or questions, of course, and suggestions, I invite you all to write them on the list. As far as the next call is concerned, well, I don't think that we can have another call before Beijing. That's definitely out of the question. I was going to suggest, because as you know, the Beijing meeting is actually quite a tough week for the people going there. For those of you that have attended an ICANN meeting, you'll find that in general, the week afterwards, everyone is completely wiped out. So if we look at the month of April, should we have a look at, right, today we're the 26th of March. If we look at the third week of, is it third week? No, fourth week of April. I'm not sure. I was going to suggest, end of April. So either the week of the 22nd or the week of the 29th of April. Does anybody have any preference?
Olivier, Cheryl here. You've got a lot of placeholders in that week of the 22nd already for the Budget and Finance Subcommittee. You're freer in that final week. But once those placeholders are sorted out by other doodles, you might find that first week you proposed a little bit more open. I think we should just let she who must be obeyed on all things planning-wise and logistic-wise, let Gisela sort that out for us. But I would remind you, if it is the week of the 22nd of April, to respect national holidays in Australia.
Thank you very much. Is there a national holiday in Australia on the 22nd? Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Well, in Europe, there is also, and in fact in the world, in many different places, there is a national holiday on the 1st of May in many countries as well, so that will probably be also cutting the week into two parts. Let's have the action item to have that next call either on the week of the 22nd or the week of the 29th and let Gisela operate her magic on this.
She's the only one who can.
And with this, I thank absolutely everyone here on the call. I think it's been a very productive start. I'm glad that you're all aware of what the plans are now. And let's follow up on the mailing list. And if I could ask staff to send a follow-up note when they send the action item, to also have the link to our wiki page, because there is a wiki home for this. And for those of you who do not have, if you don't have a login, late now, a wiki login, then just drop a note over to staff at atlarge.icann.org, and they will create a login for you. They'll get IT to create a login for you so you can fully participate and edit wiki pages and put your comments on there. And with this, I thank you all, and I don't know why this thing suddenly has become absolutely huge. Somebody's playing with the...
No, it hasn't yet.
with the system, and now it's disappeared. Thank you very much to all of you. This call is now adjourned.
Thanks, Olivier.
Hi, thanks all.
Thanks
you,
all.
Mark.
Welcome, Carlos. We better catch up in Beijing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Take care, all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you to all.
Bye.